Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 11 through 15. Praise God, praise God. And I've entitled this evening's message, Keep Growing and Don't Look Back. Say that with me at home. Keep growing and don't look back. Let's go there. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4. And the Word of God reads, And he himself gave some to apostles to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints of the work of the ministry. It's for us, those who labor in his love, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 and 15, and it says that we should no longer, what? Be children, tossed to and fro, carried away about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, say that with me, in love, speaking the truth in love, that may grow up in all things into him who is the head, and that is Christ Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Now, I want your attention on this screen for a moment. Let's go back to the screen. Listen to this. When a child is born, we naturally expect him to grow. And if he doesn't, there's what? A major problem. Can I get an amen? And so this same principle applies to the Christian life as well, my friends. Salvation is the beginning of our relationship with Christ. But God doesn't want us to stay immature. Can I get an amen in the house? And after being born again through faith in Jesus, we should continually grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Let's look at God's word right here, found in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow, say that with me at home, but grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Praise God. And so, saints, by reading the Bible, praying, observing how the Lord works, will what? Increase in our Christ-likeness and our obedience unto God. But the Lord also uses a surprising means to bring us to maturity. Oh, yes, he does. And let's look at this. Sometimes he has to bring this right here. Let's look at this for a moment. Adversity. Adversity. That's right. Adversity. Write that down. Adversity. Adversity is a universal experience, my friends, of mankind. And it can either hinder or accelerate our spiritual growth. And it all depends on how you and I respond. That's right. There's ways to respond to adversity. You see, my friends, adversity is a condition of suffering and hardship involving what? Anguish, pressure, trials, heartaches, and even disappointments. That's right. It may be physical or emotional in nature, and either long or short in the duration that God allows us to go through, but it always causes pain. Adversity causes pain. Well, yes, it does. And although none of us want hurt or trouble, how many at home want hurt or trouble? No. We want peace. We want love. We want security. We want comfort. But although none of us want the hurt and the trouble that sometimes God allows us to go through, if it does come, we have what? Two options. That's right. Number one, we can waste our sorrows or grow in our relationship with the Lord. You see, my friends, spiritual growth in adversity depends on two factors. Yes, there are two factors. Now, let's go here for a moment. Number one, our understanding of God's purpose for it. We need to understand God's perfect understanding of the trial that we're going through. That's right. Understanding God's purpose for it. There is purpose in all things. That's right. Always remember, Romans 8:28. All things, say that with me at home. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His will and purpose. Now, let's look at this on the screen. Our response to adversity. We need to understand our response to adversity, because adversity will come, my friends. That's right. It will come. You see, He allows adversity in our lives for specific reasons. And one of them is this. Look at this. To get our attention. Hello? That's right. Sometimes God, hallelujah, doesn't have to take a bat over our head. He'll allow adversity to come. Or then we have to, drop to our knees. Now He's got our attention. Oh, yes. Right now, there are many things that are people going through in the household of faith. That's right. There's relationships that has crashed and burned. I'm talking about husbands walking out on their wives, wives walking out of their husbands, and relationships crushed. And children on drugs. That's right. Or mom and dad about ready to terminate their relationship after all those years. Things happen. Some people are looking for jobs. Some people just got laid off. There are things that are taking place in our world today. And God allows adversity so that what? We can take heed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord God. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, when life is running smoothly, what? It's easy to ignore the Lord. That's right. But in adversity, say that with me at home. But in adversity, He suddenly has our undivided attention. Oh, yes, He does. And what is the purpose for adversity at times? It's right up here on the screen. To conquer pride. To conquer pride. See, did you know that, especially, I'm talking to those whose relationship has just totally been destroyed. And we think it's the other party. But let me just say this. Sometimes we did it to ourselves, and it's our pride that tries to justify that it was them. And we don't take that second look in our own heart to find out that we were the source. I was the source of having this thing being corrupted, having this relationship being destroyed. That's right. And so, saints, if we're doing well, we might be tempted to look down on those who are struggling. But adversity humbles us. Can I get an amen? That's right, it does. The Apostle Paul was given awesome privileges and insights, but along with them came a thorn in his flesh. What? To keep him from exalting himself. Oh, that's right. Let's look at the Word of God. Look at this. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church, lest I what? Should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to what? To buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Look at this in verse 9. And He said to me, say this with me at home, saints of God. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather what? Boast. Say that with me. Boast in my infirmities. Man, that's a tough one, saints of God. To boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. Hallelujah. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. Did you catch all that? See, Paul understood. Paul understood having that thorn in his flesh. It kept him humbled. You got to remember who he was. He was a Hebrew of all Hebrews. That's right. That's right. He was in the line of Benjamin. He was a great orator. He was the attorney of the day. Oh, yes. He had everything going until Jesus had an encounter with him. And everything was taken away. And he had nothing but the grace of God. Can I get an amen? You see, saints of God, God, he allows humbling pain. Why? Because he knows that pride prevents us from being used by him. Can I get an amen? So let's look at this for a moment. Adversity is to remind us of our what? Our weaknesses. Many of us are weak. And I like how my older brother, Brother Gene, a lot of us like to fake the funk. You know what that means? Oh, everything's okay. How you doing? Oh, everything's okay. And you're bleeding inside. And you're wretched and you're undone. Oh, yeah, but I'm okay. Praise the Lord. You know, we put on that facade, don't we? We try to show an outer appearance of everything's all right, but inside, everything's terribly wrong. But see, a lot of times God has to bring us to a place where we can just be broken from all that and surrender everything to the will of God. You know that there's people that if they don't get their way, they will leave you in a heartbeat. That's right. That's why God has given me a heart to watch and protect my heart. People will come and tell you, oh man, you're the best thing. You're the best thing since sliced bread. And then months later, they will leave you and drop you like a hot potato. You know what? God has taught me, don't buy in to that report. Don't read your own news clips. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Saints, a sense of personal strength and adequacy keeps us what? Self-sufficient. But the Lord knows how to weaken us with affliction. So we'll turn to him for direction and strength. Every now and then we need to be redirected. Can I get an amen? Stop pointing the finger. Well, you don't have this and you don't have that and you're not good enough and blah, blah, blah. Well, wait a minute. Have you tried praying for those things? Have you tried praying for the ministry to have more ministries? Or do you just cut and run when things are too tough? That's what people do. Oh, they don't have this and they don't have that. Well, guess what? Did you try praying that God will bring those things? Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look on the screen. A lot of times adversity comes to increase our hatred of what? Sin. Did you catch that? Our hatred of sin. You know, there's people that love their sin. That's right. And until God shows you what the sin is causing in your life, you're never going to learn. You're going to be hard-hearted. You're going to be a stubborn mule. Oh, that's right. You know, how can you curse out your husband? How can you curse out your wife and then try to mend it up? I've said this before in the past. I'd rather get shot in the leg and heal from that wound than someone coming with their tongue and stabbing me in the heart with their mouth. That's hard to heal. And yet, it's like no big deal once it releases from the mouth. Oh, that's right. That's right. A lot of people don't believe they have sinned until the collapse comes. And then when everything collapses, there's nobody to blame but yourself. Can I get an amen in the house? We got to own that sin. We got to say, oh, God, I have sinned before you. And now I'm suffering the consequences. That's right. You see, the suffering that comes with disobedience, well, you know what it does? It reminds us of the awful impact of the sin. God sometimes disciplines us with adversity, so what? We will learn to hate sin and practice what? Righteousness. That's what's wrong with this nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's right. Look, let's look at the screen right up here. Adversity is to demonstrate what? God's faithfulness. Do you know God is faithful? God is faithful. That's right. You see, saints of God, only in our greatest need we will understand how dependable and trustworthy the Lord is. How many believe that God is trustworthy? Well, then continue to believe that. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God will never fail us. God is for you. Who could be against you? Let the Word of God live richly in your heart. You see, my friends, pain and hardship, it drives you and I to seek for Him for help. And in the midst of our suffering, we discover that He is what? Always faithful. Can I get an amen? Always faithful. And so adversity comes also this. Let's take a look at this. To equip us to comfort others. Praise God. This is why we need to grow in the grace. This is why this message is keep growing and don't look back. Can I get amen? Listen. We're all going to soil our pants in the ministry. I hope you know that. That's right. There's some babies in Christ and there's some young adults that are old adults that need pampers because we're all going to soil. Can I get an amen? And what I mean by that spiritually, we're all going to fumble the ball every now and then. But God allows these things. He allows these things to happen in our life. And we need to, like I just showed you right here, it's to equip us what? To comfort others. To comfort others. Listen, whatever you're going through, God is equipping us to comfort others. That's right. There's other people that are seriously going through, my friends. That's right. And when God comforts us in affliction, we become a spring of comfort to others. That's right. How many of you would rather go through something to understand why you went through it and then comfort others who are exactly going through the same situation of life? Let's look at God's word right here in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Look at this. Blessed, say that with me at home. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who what? Comforts us in our tribulation that we may be what? Able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort that which we ourselves are comforted what? By. Look at that. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also what? Abounds through what? Christ. Look at this in verse 6 and 7. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Some of you are suffering. I get that. Or if we are comforted, look at this. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast. Why? Because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the what? Consolation. Wow. Wow. See, Paul understood these things. You got to remember, he had it all at one time. He was a tyrant. He was a brute. He was the original drive-by. That's right. They would just go by house to house looking for Christians to burn, to persecute, to imprison until God got a hold of him one day and knocked him off his beast. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, having gone through pain, we are what? Better able to sympathize with those who are going through a similar situation as I've been alluding to. That's right, my friends. See, God wants us to grow. God wants us to never look back, but to press ahead. Can I get an amen? And what's it for? Let's look at this. To prepare us for service. To prepare us for service. That's right. That's right. How many of you believe that God's called you? All right. Well, if God has called you, you need to humble yourself. That's right. You need to come under the authority of the headship that's there, that's nurturing you. Some people just tuck and roll, and they bounce out because they want a Burger King life. They want it to have it their way instead of staying in and plowing ahead and praying with one another, asking God to bring certain things to the body of Christ to strengthen the body. The adversity is to come to prepare us. Oh, that's right. People don't want to hear that, though. And so, saints, experiencing hardship and suffering, it equips you and I to serve the Lord in various ways and meet the needs of others. See, a lot of times we want to make it's all about me. No, it's not about you. It's about others that you can bless, especially in the household of faith. Let's look at this for a moment. It's also to express His love for us. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Did you know that God loves you? Yes, He does. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's the God of all love, and there is no darkness in Him. Listen, He saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Look where He found you. Some of you were deep in sin. Some of you, there are things that you did in your past that you would not mention them in public. That's right. But He still saved you. He washed you in His blood. He cleansed you. Hallelujah. He raised you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He has anointed you. He has appointed you. And He has approved you. And now you can walk around with a AAA card. Can I get an amen? Anointed, appointed, and approved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Somebody give God praise and glory on what He's done in your life. Come on, praise Him and glorify Him. That's right. And so, saints, because God loves us so much, He does send adversity, what? To rescue us from danger we don't see and to draw us into the safety of a life fully surrendered to Him. Praise God. And a lot of times, the adversity comes to do this, to do exactly this. To change our direction. Can I get an amen? To change our direction. Praise God. You see, God knows what's best for you and I. I hope you know that. I'd rather follow God and be a doop-de-doo than try to analyze and give it an analytical response to my own understanding and just said, God, I got this. I got this under control. And then we normally what? Crash and burn. Why? Because we want a Burger King life. And you know what that Burger King life is? Having it our way. That's right. Well, I'm sorry. God doesn't work like that. He doesn't operate like that. We need to follow the King. We need to follow the Lord. Can I get amen? And so, saints of God, God uses adversity to stop us from what? Going astray. What? To redirect our path so that we can stay in His will. Praise God. Look what the Word of God says here in the book of Luke. Let's go here right now. Look at this. In Luke 22, 39 through 42, the Word of God says, coming out, He went to the Mount of Olives as He was accustomed, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He came to the place, He said to them, pray that you may not what? Enter into temptation. Now look at this. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He wasn't that far away. And He knelt down and He prayed. And this is a famous prayer that went around the whole world saying, Father, if it is your will, look at this, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what? Your will be done. Did you catch that? Huh? Did you catch that, my friends? It was not about Him. He understood that He had to come and die for your sin and my sin. Listen, He was still in a body of flesh. He still experienced fear and anguish and anxiety. Why? Because He came. He came to us and was birthed from His mother's womb, a human being. And yet He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Praise God. Now, let's look at this for a moment. What is our response to adversity? Huh? What is it? Let me ask you this. Do you pout? Do you mumble and grumble? Do you slam doors? What do you do? Do you kick the dog? Do you leave your wife? Do you leave your husband? Do you curse them out? Do you use your mouth in a foul language to curse them out? And then thinking that everything's going to be all right, that you did not hurt them. I'm here to let you know, a lot of times these relationships crash and burn is because you sent forth a wicked tongue upon them. Oh, that's right. Some people don't want to hear the truth, but that's what happens. And then the outcome is horrible. They are so hurt, they won't come back no more because the damage has been done. And so, saints, to grow spiritually from the trials in our life, we must respond as the Lord desires. And He has promised what? To teach us the way we should go. Look, King David understood that. Oh, yes, he did. Look at this in the book of Psalms. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with what? My eye. My eye. Wow. Wow. That's right. You see, God is there when you think He's not. Oh, I'm by myself. Oh, now I can sin. Oh, really? He's sitting right next to you. And if you're born again, He's living inside you. And whatever you look upon, He's looking with you. What? That's right. That's right. Let's look at this for a moment. See it as coming from God. See as adversity, the trials, it's coming from God. He allows it. Did you know Satan went to God in heaven and said, the only reason why you're blessing Job is because you put a hedge of protection around him. Remove the protection and I can get him to curse you in your face. So God said, okay, go ahead. I'm going to remove my hedge, but just don't take his life. So in other words, God has limitations to old Slewfoot. That's right. The devil has limitations. He can't just go all out on you without God's permission. Without God's permission, he can't even touch you. That's right. That's right. See it as it's coming from God. And so our first response should be to what? To read God's word in order to view our situation from God's perspective. That's right. We need to look at it through God's perspective. Look what God's word says here. I quoted it earlier. I'm going to quote it again. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, say that with me at home, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. How many believe that you've been called? Okay. Well, then there's purpose now in your life. And you need to follow the Lord. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, if He's allowed suffering, He has something good to achieve through it. That's right. He does. And when things like that happen, do this. Ask the Lord to reveal His goal for the adversity in your life. That's right. God has all the answers. God has all the answers. And saints, the painful situations in our lives are not random, but events that we can learn these opportunities from. Can I get an amen? If we glean the most from our suffering, the truths we learn will be worth the pain that you and I experience in this life. Well, that's right. And so one of the keys is this right here. Surrender to God's will. Surrender totally to His will. That's right. You see, my friends, even if we don't fully understand why we're suffering, the right response is to yield ourselves to whatever the Lord is doing, knowing that He only works for the best in His children's lives. How many of you believe that you are called, that you are a child of God? Well, then, listen, we need to do this. Rest by trusting in His faithfulness. That's right. God is faithful. Did you know that? Listen, He is faithful when we're faithless. Can I get an amen? Saints, the Lord always does what He's promised and is trustworthy in every situation. Say that with me at home. In every situation, even in our pain, we can rest in His faithfulness to bring us through our adversity a way that pleases and honors Him. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Biblical truths affirm that God's goal for our adversity is what? Our spiritual growth. We need to grow. We need to grow. Can I get an amen? We need to go from being a baby, from drinking milk. We need to eat the food now of God. Can I get an amen? That we can prosper, that we can bless others, that we can raise up others in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so let's look at this for a moment. Adversity is what? Is the Lord's most effective way of deepening our faith and commitment to Him. Praise God. You see, my friends, after the Lord has brought us through, the foundation of our trust in Him is what? Strengthened. strengthened. That's right. God will see us through. How many believe that God will see you through? That you won't always be in that trial. There's an end game to it. But learn from it. Grow from it. Experience the adversity. Listen, the book of Job said, a man born of a woman is but one day and full of trouble. What does that all mean? That means trouble and hardship will come, whether you like it or not. It's how you respond, how I respond to those harsh things that come our way. That's right. Let's look at that. 1 Peter, look at this. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. The Word of God says, in this you greatly rejoice, though what? Though now for a little while, if indeed you have been grieved by what? Various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by what? Fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Go through the fire, but you won't be burnt. Can I get an amen? No, we want to run and duck. We want to backtrack. We want to backpedal. We want to leave this trial, but learn from it. Learn what God is doing. Can I get an amen? And with each trial, our confidence, saints of God, in Him. What does it do? It increases as we look back and we see how He was faithful. Did you know that God is faithful? That's right. Yes, He is. Look at this for a moment. The area of adversity in our lives is where what? Where God is working to bring us to spiritual maturity. That's right. That's right. It does. It does. Saints, the Lord, He has a mighty goal in mind and knows exactly how to achieve it. That's right. He is in this process of maturing us from the inside out. Praise God. It's not an outer thing. It's an inner thing. Can I get an amen? Look what the Word of God says here in Romans 5, 3 through 5. Look at this. And not only that, but we also what? Glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, my friends? It is God, God Almighty, doing a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. And this cannot be accomplished academically, but must be taught through the experience of suffering, my friends. And so, as we come into a close, I need you to see this. Our responses to adversity reveal something about ourselves. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. What does it reveal, my friends? Number one, it reveals our view of God. It reveals, yes, we do. Do we think He's trustworthy? You know, we play these mind games with one another. You know, is He, yes, God is trustworthy. We're the ones that can't be trusted. That's right. This is why. Let me just say this. God has guarded, He has told me to guard my heart. You know, when you get new people coming into the church, they'll put you on a pedestal. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Oh, you were the best next thing since sliced bread. And they will just throw on all, they will heap upon you praises. And you know what God told me? Don't buy into that newspaper. Don't read your own newspaper clips. You know why? Those same people that are praising you, He said weeks, sometimes months, maybe a year, they will walk out on you. And then all of a sudden, it all meant nothing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We think that God's not trustworthy. Well, He is. Look at this. It allows us to view our own selves. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Listen, do we see ourselves as God's beloved children? I need to ask that question. That's right. Look at this. The importance of things in our lives. What is important in your life, my friends? Huh? You see, if the Lord removes something we want to keep, our response reveals its priority in our hearts. Now, oh, that's right. It does. Look at this. Our strengths and weaknesses. our strengths and weaknesses. That's right. Listen, my friends, it is in those difficulties that we discover how strong or weak we truly are. That's right. That's right. Look at this. Our capacity for endurance. Our capacity for endurance. Do you and I, do we have a firm foundation of faith which enables us, saints of God, to endure? Or do we quickly just give up? We throw in the towel. Like I said, there's people that will come into your life and they will walk out of your life. They'll walk out of your ministry in a heartbeat. Why? Because they thought that what they were looking for, since they couldn't find it, I'm out of here. And let me just say this. There's not a perfect church. You know why? Because as soon as you go to that next church, guess what? It's no longer perfect anymore because you just showed up. Can I get an amen? Praise God. And so look at this. Our faith in God. How many can honestly say that you have faith in God? You better have faith in God because God's going to keep on bringing trials and tribulations to grow us so that we don't have to look back. Can I get amen? And so, saints of God, how much do we actually trust the Lord and believe that He uses adversity for our good? Huh? How many of you believe that? Well, let's look at this for a moment. Our spiritual growth is determined by the way we view what? Adversity. Adversity. That's right. Why? Because we either see it as an obstacle in our lives or as an opportunity to what? To grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To grow in our relationship with the Lord. And so in every trial, His goal is that we increase in our knowledge and understanding of His ways and trust in Him and His faithfulness. That's right. My friends, this is the time to get right with God. This is the time to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. To press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, He's soon and very soon, He's about to appear. And we're almost out of here. I hope you know that. That's right. How many believe that Jesus is coming for you and I? He's coming for His church. And guess what? He's going to come in the clouds. That's right. Why? Because we are the betrothed. We, the born-again church, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's coming to get us. Can I get an amen? He's coming for His church. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. And I've got the Word of God to back it up. Let's go there. Let's go there to God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, verses 13 through 18, it says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." And when He says fallen asleep, those who died in Christ. "Lest you sorrow as others have no hope." You ever been to a funeral? Let me just pause there for a moment. You ever been to a funeral and people that don't know Christ, they are screaming and mourning for that loved one. And they're screaming and mourning. Why? Because they see themselves in that same coffin. And a lot of them don't have no hope. They don't know where they're going. But you can, in just a moment, you can know for sure without a shadow of a doubt. Let's go back to the God's Word. Look at this. "Lest you sorrow as others have no hope, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who," what? "Sleep in Jesus." Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord Himself," say that with me at home, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Verse 17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be," what? "Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." Praise God. Praise God. He's coming again. Listen, it was a mystery. These scriptures, it was a mystery. But God revealed it. 2,000 years later, it's all in a Galilean wedding. That's right. That's right. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. That's right. That's right. Because when he comes to take the church out from this earth, then God's going to pour out his wrath upon this unbelieving world. But God's going to hide us in the pavilion. We're going to experience the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. We're going to rejoice because we will be consummated finally. Hallelujah. At the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to catch this video clip that I put together for you so that you can have an understanding how the Galileans portrayed going to be with the Father. Let's look at this. Let's look at this right now.
The wait is over, and the groom is finally on his way to be united with his bride. As they move through the town streets, trumpets blare loudly to not only wake the bride, but also the guests that were invited to the wedding feast. Only those that were prepared could quickly rise and join the concession.
The bridegroom and his groomsmen now exit the house. They go out of the compound, begin to serpentine through the streets of the village until finally they come near the bride's house. And as the bride comes into view, what a shockingly beautiful scene it must be. There in the middle of the night, you have a row of women with the bride in the middle, all the bridesmaids dressed in their white linen robes. And in the center, the bride dressed in her beautiful bridal gown.
After a year of preparing and waiting, they are finally together again. Reunited as one forever.
The parade led by the bridegroom now rush up towards the bride and her family and all the people that are standing there, the bridesmaids. And the two men with the litter set the litter down on the ground in front of the bride. And she very, very modestly steps out onto the litter and she lowers herself down.
The bride did not simply follow her groom back to the father's house, but she was lifted into the air. In fact, the ancient Galileans referred to this moment as flying the bride to the Father's house.
She's lifted up off the ground. She's escorted with him back to that place of preparation. It speaks, it shouts all about God's grace. It's not her effort. She was just to be ready because she loves him. She's borne aloft. She's taken away with him. It's all about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God from the beginning all the way through to now to the end.
Praise God. Praise God. Did you see how she was hoisted up? She sat in the litter and they lifted her up and they carried her to the father's mansion, his home, that him and his son prepared for the bride. And Jesus says, I go to my father's house and prepare a place for you. But let me just say this, something radically has to change. And these flesh and blood, the bodies we live in, can I go to heaven? We are confined to this earth by the law of gravity. I could barely jump up 6 inches, let alone jump up 6 feet like Michael Jordan. But guess what? He is defined by the law of gravity himself. And so we must be changed. Look what God's word says about that right now. Let's go there. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all what? Sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Wow. So my friends, my question to you, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready? Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and a heart of repentance? Have you surrendered totally to the Lord God Almighty? Praise God. Praise God. Are you washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise? You see, that's the born-again church. That's who Jesus is coming for. But you must be ready. You must be the bride waiting for her groom to come. That's right. And the church, there's a church within a church around the world that is the true born-again believers that are waiting for his return. So I want to show you another little clip, and I ask, are you ready? Are you ready?
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow, my friends. Wow. That's how fast Jesus is coming. Much faster than the speed of light. It's a twinkling of an eye. And he's coming. He's coming for his bride. Are you ready? Now, if you're not ready, just pray this prayer. But it has to be a heart of repentance. You see, Peter the apostle, he understood repentance. He had forsaken God three times in the Gospels. And yet, when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, his heart totally changed. And the anointing of God came upon him. And he preached his very first sermon. Look at what he preached here. He wrote, "Then Peter said to them, repent! And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why? For the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will what? Will call. Praise God. Praise God, my friends. Praise God. Listen. God wants to save you. God wants to bless you. God wants to deliver you. God wants you ready for his taking us home with that shout, because the angels will blast the shofar blast and we will be out of here. And if you're not ready, be ready right now. I want to lead you into we call it a sinner's prayer, a heart prayer, a heartfelt prayer of confession unto God. And if you never prayed, let me show you how. Just bow your head and your heart and pray this prayer after me by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess you that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Listen, down below, you'll see. If you need prayer, call us. There's our website. You can get a hold of us that way. And my friends, I'm here to let you know that God wants to do the miraculous in your life. Listen, also down below is a place where you can log in and download this message. You could download it on the MP3 file. You could download my PowerPoint with the videos on it. You can also download all my notes that I have prepared for you. That's right. We want to equip you. We're called to equip the saints of God for such a time as this. We want to bless you. We want to continue to pour out God's grace upon your lives. And so I want to leave by giving you our benediction. I want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you that has signed in to hear this message tonight. Thank you for the YouTube followers and the Facebook followers. Thank you for continually supporting the ministry here at Amazing Grace. And for those of you who chooses to bless us with a love offering, right there on our website, you can go to our website. There's a donate button, and your donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time for me to sign off. I can't wait to see you live next Sunday morning at 10:30 at the Sweetwater Church and Sweetwater Community Church in Bonita, California at 10:30. Most of you now know where we're at. We look forward to ministering the Word of God, that we would continue to reach out to those who need salvation. Praise God. And so, allow me to send out this benediction. Allow me to send out the Aaronic prayer. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, my friends, I love you. I can't wait to see you. God bless you, and we'll see you this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.